So, morning everybody. So this is Needlecraft 101. So if everyone wants their thimbles and their needles, the stitch patterns, they're just underneath your chairs if you want to check. Maybe not. So this is also known as How to Stitch System Center Together. So my name's Steve Beaumont. I'm a System Center Cloud and Data Center Management MVP and also Product Development Director for PowerOn Platforms. We're a UK-based System Center Specialist and Cloud Automation Partner. I've got a Twitter handle if anyone does want to follow me. Various rambling thoughts, generally on topic with the System Center arena, but you get the occasional rant and rave from me as well. I have my own blog, so it's systemcenter.ninja. I love that URL. I'm also a member of the CloudOS community in the UK. Now, we're a bit quiet at the minute, and we're actively revamping some of our websites, but do keep an eye on it, especially if you are UK-based, as we start to ramp up some events. I've also had the pleasure of doing some of the System Center cookbooks, so Service Manager, Orchestrator, and recently the Operations Manager cookbook, and done some various work on them with other offers. So today's session, what's it about? Well, System Center is the product, and it's actually comprised of multiple components. So as we start to bring in more of these components, because you don't just do one install and you get everything, then we exponentially increase the power of System Center. But we've got to actually integrate a lot of these different components together to be able to achieve that. So today we're going to talk about some of the different interactions with the different components, how they actually work, how they interact, because each one of them is different per component. We'll also go through some of the prerequisites, the accounts that are needed, the permissions, and the various different methods to be able to establish them. And hopefully pick up some of the tips and tricks that are gained over the years in actually doing this. So a bit of scene setting. So I mentioned that System Center is the product, but we have different components within it. When I talk about System Center, I generally categorize it into about six different areas. We've got these five main areas where the different components fall into. So for example, we've got Service Manager fitting within that service management arena, providing our service desk activities and our rich CMDBs. We've got Virtual Machine Manager that's sat in that provisioning area doing the fabric provisioning. You can ignore App Controller. That's now a deprecated product, so it's dead. So we're not going to talk about App Controller today. Configuration Manager squarely fits within that configuration, deploying updates, software. You could argue it moves into the provisioning arena, but that's more on the desktop side than the actual server side where you'd see Virtual Machine Manager doing it. And then obviously Operations Manager fits into monitoring, and Data Protection Manager and Endpoint we fit into the protection category. The fifth area that we talk around is around the automation. How do we actually start to orchestrate some of the different interactions between them? And that's with Microsoft bringing Orchestrator into the fold. So that fits squarely across them all, and Microsoft's actually got it there to actually increase the amount of interaction between the components where natively within the box they don't fit. Then the sixth area is what we talk around this service provider model, which is now fulfilled by Windows Azure Pack and some of the subcomponents that we see that we bring in for Windows Azure Pack that actually fit under the Orchestrator banner, which is Service Provider Foundation, Service Management Automation, or SMA, and Service Reporting. We'll also talk very briefly around some of the integration links that we have now with some of the hybrid cloud models, so talking about how we can interact with Microsoft Azure, Microsoft Intune for mobile device management, and this new thing called Microsoft Operations Management Suite. Now, there are quite good sessions on these different areas throughout the week, so they will go much more in depth than what I'll cover within this session. So, starting from the top of that circle and working round, Service Manager. So this is one of the main components that has most of the connectors. We'll talk about them in terms of a connector framework. We'll show you within the console that there is an actual dedicated section for hooking into the different System Center components. We have a connector for Config Manager, and that's designed primarily for bringing in information around your hardware inventory and your software inventory. SCOM's split into two different connectors. We have configuration items, and we have alerts. But that configuration item connector isn't concentrated on, again, pulling across hardware information. We'll leave that to the Config Manager connector. We're talking about leveraging some of that rich discovery that Operations Manager does to get even more in-depth CI information. So delving in, trying to find out things about SQL databases, IIS websites, whatever you use to discover as classes within Operations Manager, we pull across into the CMDB. Now, it's not just there purely as a nice view area for your service desk personnel, but we actually start to leverage this within the service request management modules to be able to increase the actual flexibility of producing service requests out to the end users, or change requests, for example, where we might want to say we want to alter this SQL instance, and we immediately have the objects within the CMDB that we can leverage. Mentioned the alert connector, and we'll go into these a bit more in depth. Orchestrator is designed for bringing across them automation runbooks that live within Orchestrator, mainly around things like the parameters that are within them and the naming conventions. So again, we can reutilize them discovered objects without having to manually code anything, because they're presented again within the product for use. And then we have Virtual Machine Manager. So a lot of people will take a look at it and go, well, I already know about my hosts and the different VMs that are running, because we've got that coming in from the SCOM connector. But the VMM connector is actually more focused around pulling in information around library objects and things like the logical networks. Again, it's all to increase the flexibility of your service request management. If we want to allow a user to select a service request to deploy a virtual machine, we don't want to be maintaining separate lists or getting them to type in names and templates that might be available. We want to be able to provide the actual objects so we can actually scope them down and say, look, here is what we offer. Just select it, and then we can deal with that. We've got the right ID objects, and we can use that again within the automation process. So the VMM connector is more focused around library objects and the logical networks. I put Active Directory in there. It's not necessarily a System Center connector. It's more that supporting underlying, so it's there for actual completeness as such for the service manager aspects. So there's a range of connectors, and now we need to actually start pulling them in, and what do we need to know about them? So for the SCOM connector and the VMM connector, there's a requirement on management packs. So for those of you who don't know Service Manager, it is built on the same type of framework as Operations Manager, which means they both rely on management packs having the definitions for various different classes and objects that can be used. So in order to actually set up the SCOM, the VMM connector we'll start with first, we need to import the relevant management packs that are defined as a requirement. I'll talk about the exact management packs later as we talk about the VMM connector, but we have to make sure that they are in place before establishing the connector. Similarly with the SCOM connector, we can establish it, but we need to actually start providing it information regarding which management packs we want to be able to synchronize. You don't just establish the connector and all of a sudden you get all your SQL databases. You need to actually tell it and import the SQL management pack and set that up as a synchronization option, and I'll show you that in a second. All of these different connectors in Service Manager require accounts. Now, you could just create one account or just use a workflow account. Please don't. I always work on the basis of trying to have the least privileges accounts possible and actually splitting them out granularly per connector to be able to control it at a much greater level. However, every account that you do use for the connectors must be a Service Manager Advanced Operator permission account. So make sure that any accounts you're using, you add to the Advanced Operator's role within Service Manager. After that, the account that you supply for the CI connector must be a SCOM operator. All it's doing is reading information, it's pulling them CIs across. The SCOM alert connector needs to be an administrator because we're interacting with alerts. So it has the ability to both add the ticket information, so it'll read the alerts from Operations Manager and create them as alerts within Service Manager, so you get trouble tickets to work on, and it'll push the information back into SCOM so you can match up the ticket IDs. So there's this two-way communication that you add in. Is that a question? Yes? So you could probably get away with scoping it. Yeah, so you could probably get away if you really granularly scope it down. I just know that from the actual TechNet articles, it says specifically a SCOM administrator. So I'll go with what is supported, and then you can play and tweak it down if you get the exact permissions. Config manager. So this doesn't actually interact with any of the SDKs. This has an actual direct call to the SQL database. So when you go through the connector, it'll just ask you for the SQL information, the name of the server, and the database. And you can scope this down a little bit more, so it just needs to have the SMS DB role extract and the DB data reader permissions. That's all, don't be giving that full sysadmin privileges, doesn't need any more. Virtual Machine Manager, and you're gonna like this one if you'd like talking about scoping down the actual access permissions. So Microsoft recommend it has both VMM admin privileges and local server admin privileges. Now, personally, I've not scoped this down any smaller, so I couldn't tell you if you can get away with less, but this is mainly due to the connector using the PowerShell commandlets, so therefore it needs to have the permissions to be able to run them. Orchestrator, we can scope down nicely. It only needs the abilities to be able to read and list contents. So I'll show you this in a second or two. Now, if you're not familiar with Orchestrator, the permissions basis are very much like File Explorer, and you have the same type of create, delete, as you would in an Explorer setting file permissions. So we have the same options. So it's read properties, list contents, but you do need to give it publish permissions. And this is because Service Manager will invariably use it within a workflow activity to execute a runbook. So we need to allow it to be able to publish that information, which then executes the runbook. Again, Active Directory is in there for completeness. It's just a standard user as long as it can read the information. It doesn't do any sort of synchronization, so it doesn't push information into Active Directory. So let's take a quick look at these Service Manager connectors. So as I was mentioning earlier, this whole idea of the CI connector, bringing in that more richer information, whereas within the Configuration Manager connector, we'll get that information regarding the computers, what type of hardware is on them, what type of software is on them. So quick one on the Configuration Manager one. If you want that software information to come in, you must make sure you're using the Asset Intelligence part of Config Manager and have the Asset Intelligence, the SMS installed software class ticked. Otherwise, you'll just get no software inventory coming into Service Manager. However, the SCOM connector is more interested in actually bringing across the more deeper CI information to allow you to utilize it with things like the information around your databases, the IIS websites. And these are all controlled within the connectors framework section of the console when it comes up. Here we go with the connectors. And we can have multiples of these set up. You don't have to have one that goes and gathers absolutely everything. You can scope it down to different areas and do includes and excludes. However, picking on the SCOM connector still, if I do the properties of mine, when it comes up, we can see it has this concept of the management packs. So as default, when you set it up, you can choose to select everything. But when you're then maintaining your operations manager environment and your service manager environment, you must remember to actually update your management packs in both places. So there is no synchronization of these management packs. You update one in SCOM, you'll be out of scope in Service Manager, and it'll be an older version. Usually that's not going to cause too much of a hassle. It should continue to work. I say should because you never know. It depends on the changes in the management pack. So it's always a good thing to actually come in and check occasionally. However, checking's not the easiest. You have to go through and you'd go down the list and you're kind of looking at two columns. It's not the easiest. Now, slight tip for the day. There is a little utility by one of my old guys called Robert Ryan. I believe there's a newer version of this from one of the other guys. I've not been able to find it for the session. However, this one still works. There's a link in the resources slide at the end to this, but it's really cool for quick comparisons. So I can actually load up the management packs that are within my operations manager environment, the same with the management packs that are within my service manager environment, and then do a quick compare. So if I have a look at what's the difference between my service manager live and my service manager, my operations manager live, basically anything in yellow is out of date between the two of them. So it makes it a lot easier now to quickly scope through it, see which management packs I have got out of variants, and then go and import the relevant ones. You can see I've got a lot of stuff in gray as well, and that's because I've not imported them into Service Manager. You don't have to bring everything across. Only bring the management packs that you actually want classes synchronizing across into Service Manager. So Virtual Machine Manager, moving on now to the next component. So this has a built-in connector to Operations Manager. And this is mainly for allowing us to integrate the maintenance mode. So there's a couple of things that happen when we import it. When we set up the connector, a load of management packs are published into Operations Manager, which immediately gives us monitoring of our fabric layer. So it starts to pull back rich information regarding the hosts, the fabric layer, the cloud resources. And if we tick the option during the connection of it, we can also integrate maintenance mode and the pro tips. So integrating maintenance mode is actually really cool, because if you're anything like me, and I'm forgetful, and I'll be working on a host, might be remediating some of my VMM servers, I go and click maintenance mode, reboot it, and get a storm of alerts into Operations Manager because I forgot to put it into maintenance mode. However, with this in place, I don't have to remember anymore. As soon as you put it into maintenance mode in Virtual Machine Manager, it actually goes to Operations Manager and instructs it to properly put it into maintenance mode and then suppresses all the alerts. So it's more of a safety gate than anything. Obviously, if you're doing the automation of the tasks, you should be automating it and getting it to put the relevant objects into maintenance mode first, but this is good for the manual scenarios. Pro tips are there as an option. So these were more prevalent in VMM 2008, whereas 2012 kind of takes on some of that burden, looking at dynamic memory pressures of VMs and actually doing the dynamic optimization. But it is still there if you have a vendor management pack from the likes of Dell, et cetera, where they provide you with more enhanced information into VMM to say, actually, you might want to think about moving stuff around. Now, the prerequisites for this. So you must have the SCOM console installed on all of your Virtual Machine Manager nodes. So be that either cluster nodes or if you have individual SCOMs, VMM servers, get the SCOM console installed. Just don't forget when you're doing your patching routines to make sure that the SCOM console is kept up to date as well when you're deploying the SCOM update rollups. Now, the management packs that I mentioned earlier when talking about the Service Manager connector framework for the VMM console, when you go to establish the VMM connection in VMM, it will give you a list of management packs that it's going to import. Before it can import them, it needs the Windows Server operating system management packs imported into SCOM. Now, that's usually a basic thing that everyone has, so it's not on the slide deck. But then you must also make sure you have the SQL management packs and the IIS management packs. Now, the IIS ones are a bit legacy, because it used to be that we had a self-service portal with VMM, so we had to be able to monitor that, and that was an IIS website. Whether they'll change that anytime soon, I don't know. But for now, you need to import them. And unfortunately, you need to go as far back as some of the 2003 management packs to be able to do this. So just make sure the entire raft are imported. When you then go to import it, VMM will pull across from its installation and install into Operations Manager a load of Virtual Machine Manager management packs. So if you're not best friends with your Operations Manager administrator, or you're not the Operations Manager administrator, make sure you have a word with them first and just say to them, look, this is what impact it's going to have. You are going to have a load more management packs imported, so be prepared for any tuning exercises, whatever change control processes you go for. Don't just click the link and then wonder why it comes running down the corridor shouting at you. There are accounts that are needed, so we need accounts that go both from Operations Manager and into VMM, and from VMM and into Operations Manager. And both of these accounts need to have the counterpart management roles. So SCOM account that goes to VMM needs to be a VMM admin, and the account from VMM to SCOM needs to be a SCOM admin. And that's because of the interaction again. I don't know if you can scope it down anymore because it's only doing maintenance mode, but that is what Microsoft have as their supported models. Now, these accounts you can just give as part of the connector role when you're doing it within VMM. So one of the accounts will live as a run as account in VMM, and then you specify the other account during the wizard and it will create that and add it as the run as account to the run as profile within Operations Manager. So new for update rollup 6, we actually get a semi-quasi connector, and that's an Azure VM connector. So this actually now gives us the ability to supply the subscription ID and management certificate to our Azure subscription. I'm not going to even try to say it in an American accent. And that will then start to pull information about our Azure VMs into Virtual Machine Manager. Now, don't get too excited. It doesn't mean we can start provisioning VMs off our templates. This is more just a read first step connector where we can see the VMs, what their current state is, and then do simple operations like start them, stop them, restart them. And that's about it. But it's a starting gate. We've now got a consolidated view of our VMs no matter where they are. Now, again, these aren't System Center add-ins or components per se, but I added them for because I wanted to mention them. We get different vendor add-ins. So similar to the Azure connector, there is also a plugin or an add-in from Amazon that allows us to see our AWS resources. So again, having that single pane of glass, regardless of where our VMs are running, and still being able to manage them from a single console, so both on-premise and off. There's also some add-ins from the likes of HP and Dell, which will actually start to interact even more deeper with the actual hardware side, gives a lot of visibility into it, helps with bare metal provisioning of servers, as well as some of the storage fabric. Now, I've left a little note at the bottom about MPs that may need updating when you do an update roll-up. Now, one of the things that often gets missed off the instructions for the update roll-ups is the fact that when you do a VMM update, you could see a nice red cross on your VMM connector. And that's because occasionally they will update the management packs that are installed, well, located on the VMM server. So that's the default installation path. So you must make sure after you've done an update roll-up, you go in and check the connector, and if there are updated management packs, go to your operations manager and import them manually and then do a refresh on the connector. Otherwise, it just sits there and it doesn't do a lot. As I found out the other day when I put one of my hosts into maintenance mode and wondered why I was getting a flood of alerts. It's not able to do that interaction with the maintenance mode anymore. So let's actually have a look at that, because I keep on talking about this maintenance mode integration. Now, sometimes it's the simple things in life that impress me the most, but having this ability now to be able to go and put a host into maintenance mode, we'll move all the VMs. I've already moved my VMs just for simplicity and speed of the example. We can see that when it starts to go into maintenance mode now, this should be reflected within Operations Manager. If I go find my host, when SCOM wakes up, and we can see it's starting to go into maintenance mode. I'm afraid my resolution's cut off half the display, but you can just about see the little icon indicating that it's been put into maintenance mode for us. So it is a very handy feature just to have for the simplicity of ticking a box when putting that connector in. And it's always advisable to put that connector in if you have Operations Manager, because you're getting the fabric monitoring layer as well. So I also mentioned about that Azure subscription connector. We can see now I actually have this new node from update rollup 6 onwards within VMM, where I can quite easily click the add subscription button, give it the details around my subscription ID and the management certificate used, and then, actually I've got nothing in my MSDN. It should pull back, takes a second or two, the information from my subscription regarding what VMs I have running within my cloud infrastructure. There we go. So I have 3 VMs. Nothing amazing, like I say, it is the starting point, but we can start to do the basic tasks regarding shutting them down, restarting them, as well as being able to keep an eye on what sizings have been allocated. Go for it. Good question. They won't be from VMM. So the VMM connector that you'd put into place from Service Manager, like I mentioned earlier, isn't about bringing in computer information, it's just the library information. So in reality, no, if you've just got them within there, you want to be having them within Operations Manager and having what I'll show in a while, the Azure subscription stuff connected, and then we can start pulling some extra objects through. So Configuration Manager. So this doesn't really have much of a connector system as such. It is the collector of information for us, and then we dive in from the different System Center products and pull that information out. Now, Anyone that's worked with Configuration Manager will have seen it. As you go through deploying a software, there is two little options in there that says suppress alerts in Operations Manager during installation and raise an alert if something fails. It doesn't actually work. So when you tick that option, all it does, and you can just about see it on screen, you'll see an alert raised within the event log, and it basically suspends the agent. So it's just pausing the service as such. If you go into Operations Manager, you'll just see it as a gray unmonitored host. It's not in maintenance mode, which means potentially, if you then reboot it, you're gonna get some heartbeat failures, and you could get a raft of alerts coming back into Operations Manager when that agent is resumed. But there's an option there. Obviously, the one that says raise an alert will work because it'll write an event log and it should raise that as an alert within SCOM. However, in terms of connectors, we now do have a couple of things that start to come, and this is around the hybrid side. So we have the ability to hook Configuration Manager into Microsoft Intune for mobile device management, as well as being able to use Cloud Distribution Point if we wanted to be able to actually host something out on the internet for clients to connect to gather content. Especially good if you have a very wide, globally dispersed organization with small sites, and you don't want to have management points, but they have good internet connections, we can go to a central location for the content. Now, for the Intune connector, there's no major requirements within Config Manager. You can pretty much go to the console, create a subscription, and it'll just ask you for an ID of a user that has administrative rights to that client tenant. However, you do kind of need to make some of the other requirements for Intune in general to be done first. One of them being around Azure AD Connect, otherwise previously known as Azure Sync or DIR Sync, depending on when you last looked at it. So we need to make sure that we have our on-premise accounts in Active Directory synchronized up to Azure Active Directory. Previously, there was also a requirement that your UPNs must match your cloud tenant. So they had to be a rootable UPN. You'll be really pleased to hear, if you've not heard already, that you can also now use alternate login IDs. So if you can have the ability, well, not have, you can now have the ability to set your Azure AD Connect up to synchronize with your email address as the pivot, and then that will put that as its UPN within the Azure AD connector, and then Config Manager will now match on that email address rather than just purely the UPN, which makes it a lot easier if you have .local UPNs, etc., within your environment. After that, you must also make sure that you add the Intune role to a site server. And that's about as complex as it gets for setting up the Intune connector, which we might as well have a quick look at. So within Configuration Manager, we have this cloud services node under administration. And this is where we set up this Intune subscription. Now, I already have one in place, so I'm not going to go through the entire rigmarole of setting it up again. But it is very simply a case of running through the wizard. You enter in a user and ID that has permissions within Intune, and then that will give you some extra options on top of it around things like which group, which collection you're going to use to actually synchronize the users, what's your company name called, et cetera, some of the little bits that you can alter at any point afterwards. Now, very quickly on that collection that you must choose. So that collection must contain users that you have licensed for an Intune or an EMS license within Azure. So it's preferable if you probably pick a group within Active Directory, assign users to that group, and then you can assign that group permissions if you're running EMS, because you can use group-based licensing, the EMS license, and then it all nicely matches. All you have to worry about in-house is drop a user in a group, and they will get licensed in Azure AD, and then they will get registered for enrollment capability within Intune or within Config Manager. Another quick one on this. In the Service Pack 1 release, or Service Pack 2, depending on what naming convention you want to use, we gained an extra option just here around the APN certificates. So when you're managing iOS devices, you have to go and request an APN certificate off of I was going to say Adobe for some reason, off of Apple to be able to manage the iOS devices. Now, it's always been previously you had to remember or wait for the email to come in from Apple to say, your certificate's nearly expired, make sure you go in and request a new updated one and then add it into Config Manager. Forgetting would generally cause you to have to re-enroll all your devices. So great, we get a new option now so we can get some alerts in the console. Now, I don't know if this is now working with CU1, but before CU1, when I was testing it, ticking that option would actually stop you enrolling iOS devices. So be really careful with this option. When you see it, you'll want to tick it because it makes life easier, but just do your testing. If you tick it and then wonder why nothing's enrolling, go back and untick it. I can't confirm or deny whether that's fixed in CU1 yet. So obviously one of the main benefits of bringing in the communication between Intune and Configuration Manager is we then get all the different mobile devices actually within our Config Manager console. So ignore the ones with the little orange squiggles. They are being brought in across from my Exchange connector. The Exchange connector does nothing more than just query Active Sync and pull you in some objects. Doesn't give you a great deal of management, but at least you can see what's being connected to Active Sync. The other ones, without the little icons, are the ones I'm interested in, and these are the ones that are fully managed as mobile devices. And obviously, with them being managed, we get all the flexibility that we would expect with things like the inventory information, what type of systems are they, what operating system, what version they're running. So we have inventory information now within Configuration Manager. Now, obviously, that opens up a whole raft of things, and I'm not going to go into Intune and Config Manager, but talking about the flexibility of the connector frameworks, now having them in there as objects with hardware information means that will flow across into Service Manager. And again, you get all the things that you'd expect, like user device affinity matched within Service Manager. So it's building up our CMDB even more richly. I apologize for the resolution. I don't know what's going on with that. So moving on to the next component, Operations Manager. So we've already talked about the VMM connector, the fact that it sits both ways, but you do that from within VMM and it kind of establishes that connection. We talked about the Service Manager connection, pulling information out for the CIs, giving you that greater level of objects within your CMDB. And I also mentioned about the Alert Connector. Now, what I didn't mention about the Alert Connector is, yes, you set it up within Service Manager. That will establish the link, but there is something to do with an Operations Manager. So for it to be able to actually start pushing alerts from Ops Manager and into Service Manager, we need to go into Operations Manager and create a subscription. Once we start doing that, it gives us the ability to start to filter what type of alerts, what severity, what category, what CI classes that we actually want it to push across into Service Manager. Please do not go through and select every single criticality, warning, informational, and push it across into Service Manager, because whatever noise you have in Operations Manager will get replicated across into Service Manager, and you'll start to get really fed up with tons of garbage alerts and trouble tickets that you then have to go through and resolve and close and mess around with. Be very selective with your criteria. Think about the reasonings behind wanting it as a trouble ticket. Is it a critical system? Yes. Do we have business downtime if it's not there? Yes. Are we being charged back to the other directorates or departments on our management of that system? Yes. So look at your reasons and very granularly decide what information in terms of alerts you want raising as trouble tickets within Service Manager and add that in as your subscription criteria within Operations Manager. So the other couple of things then within Operations Manager. We now have this new Operations Management Suite, previously known as Operational Insights, previously known as System Center Advisor. I'm sure that it changes more names at more times than Prince does. Setting up within the console is thankfully very, very easy. Now, I'd recommend you start to get onto probably update rollup 6 update rollup 7's just come out, so I'll hold off judgment on whether to jump to that just yet. But that updates some of the core management packs for Operations Management Suite. You'll actually see them named as Advisor Management Packs, keeping the name convention. But it changes the name within the console, so it makes it a little bit more clearer rather than going and establishing an advisor connection. We'll have a look in a second, but it is not a lot more difficult than go to that section within administration, click on connect, and then supply some credentials for an admin user of the OMS service. But we do then need to add some computers to a group to be able to actually start to have which ones we want to upload information into OMS. There is also now an Azure connection as well. So this allows us to actually specify the subscription ID along with a management certificate, so a PFX file that we export along with a password, and that will connect Operations Manager up into Azure and start to do some of the platform monitoring of the different cloud services and the VMs that are running. So when we were saying earlier, if we want to start to pull them type of objects through into Service Manager, this is where you would start on that row. Now, I kind of wanted to remove Office 365 off this list. So there isn't a direct connection or interaction as such with Office 365. There is a management pack that you can monitor Office 365 with. Personally, I found it very, very noisy. So if you're going to have a look at it, put it into a test environment first. I found it was kept on very repetitively, bringing alerts in over and over and over, regardless of whether I closed them or not. I'm looking over into the corner of the room to see whether one of the other guys, he's not paying attention, is he, David? Whether he's going to nod and say that the Office 365 management pack is still very noisy or not. Yeah. Good. It's not just me going mad then. It's there. We can monitor it. It will bring the alerts that you'd see within your Office 365 admin hub into your SCOM console for the consolidated view, but it's very noisy. So test it, see if it meets your requirements, but it's there. Other than that, there's no real integration, but we can start to use Office 365 for things like email connectors rather than having an on-premise Exchange connector. So let's have a quick look at these OMS connections and Azure connections. So within Operations Manager, if you have a look under your administration, we should find, depending on whether my resolution is going to cut it off or not, a couple of different areas. So we have both the operational insights is just there. Oops, that's not a square box, is it? And the Azure connection is just down at the bottom. So they live within the console, and we can connect up to the different cloud services from there. So the operational insights one, I already have it established in my environment. Normally, if things weren't scattered all around the screen in the wrong places, normally you'd have a little actions button over here that says add an operational insights connection. Running through this is as simple as supplying a account. So you can use either a Microsoft account, or I have a work account, so an Azure AD account. Supply the relevant credentials. Hopefully I'm typing in the right box. And then it'll ask you for what workplace you want to use. So you can have multiple workplaces under the same Operational Insights account, so you can separate off different parts of the organization, or if you're a service provider, you can have multiple tenants as such within it. I only have the one, and there is not a lot more to do than that. Now, once that comes in and through, the only other step really is to add a computer or group. Now, you selectively choose which servers you want to upload information up into Operational Insights, or OMS as the new name is. Now, two main reasons for this. Data bandwidth in and out, and the retention period of that data within OMS. So OMS has different tiers of plans. You can start on a free tier. Everybody loves free, so that means you can try this now. You don't need a credit card, you don't need anything. You can just go register for the service, run through this wizard, and start having some of this information flow. The next thing is within Operational Insights, the cloud-based service, you can choose various different solution packs that enable different monitoring and analysis capabilities. When you do one of them, it will push down management packs into your on-premise infrastructure, which will then be scoped and applied to members of this operational insights managed group. So all we do is we just literally choose a server that we want to add to the group. There's no way that I'm going to be able to find the relevant one because my search button is off the screen. Wonderful. However, I would have chosen my Azure domain controller and added it into here. So regardless of where things are sat, as long as they have an agent on it, you can add that in to be able to upload that data to OMS. Now, some of the ones that I always tend to look at first are around domain controllers. Immediately everyone goes, oh, I don't want to put domain controller information up into Azure. Well, most people will already have Azure AD sync set up for things like Office 365. Some of them are even using the password sync cache feature. You're already giving Microsoft a lot more information than I would be worried about of what Operations Insights is going to upload. The cool thing about uploading some of the stuff like the domain controller information is you can start to leverage some of the security monitoring or analytics features within OMS, where we can start to do rich deep dives into things like logons, when passwords were last reset, some of the stuff that you would have seen within ACS before. The other flip side is the Azure connection. So again, fairly easy. You run through the wizard. All you're going to get asked for is your subscription ID and your certificate information. So download that certificate file from the Azure portal or create a PFX and upload it to the portal, whichever way you want to go around. But then we're going to start to see some of that information from Azure pulled back into our on-premise monitoring. So here we go. So I'm now starting to see some of the different areas. I've got no deployments. Class. I've got my different cloud services that are running. I have my different virtual machines that are running. I can tell whether I'm going to then need to put agents out on them, even though my virtual machines seem to be disappeared at the minute. Cloud storage information, but we get more of that rich information rather than having to go to the Azure portals and look around the various different bits. Done my topology dashboard. I can start to monitor Azure from an on-premise perspective to gain an insight into how some of it's running. I think my operations manager really let me down today for the demos. There's always got to be one demo god glitch, but there should be various information. It's flashing away now. There should be various information around your Azure subscription that's now present within your local console. So you can get alerts to the relevant people, you can scope it down to the relevant people that are monitoring different areas within your organization, and you can also start to include it within any automation activities. So it's worth integrating it just to get some of that insight into what's going on. So Data Protection Manager. So DPM doesn't necessarily have any integration components within itself. Obviously, you put agents out there and you back stuff up, but I wouldn't call that an integration. What we do do, though, is start to, again, integrate Operations Manager into DPM. So we use SCOM as the centralized management platform for our DPM. So this is more so when you have multiple DPM servers, and we don't want to have to keep on bouncing and logging on to different servers or opening console and re-scoping it to look at any alerts that are coming in. We want it in one centralized location, pull all them alerts into Operations Manager, and then be able to use the task pane to actually launch scoped consoles to the relevant DPM server or the relevant part of it to be able to interact and manage our DPM infrastructure. So it's not hard to integrate. There's a couple of management packs that you need to import. So there's the library and the discovery MPs that you'll find on the installation media. There's a default role configurator that we run. So this gives us some RBAC control over scoping down the console, so we can start handing out to the backup administrators. And then there is a central console that we install as well. So again, this lives on the DPM media. We install it on the SCOM servers or any administrative servers where you have a SCOM console installed to be able to manage it. The other one that's just come out is this DPM reporting. So this is a series of management packs that Microsoft have released that really do beef up the reporting capabilities into DPM to give us the insight around how much backup space are we using, the type of deduplication rates we're getting if we're using scale-out file servers, and it's a much prettier display, that dashboard-type approach to reporting, so we can see what's going on within our DPM infrastructure. Orchestrator. Now, I could say this has got the most integration capabilities with all the different components, and could spend a day going through different areas, different features, but it is very much management pack dependent. Integration pack dependent, sorry. So every integration pack you bring in, so if you bring the DPM one in or the VMM one, there underneath the options menu, it will give you the connection details to be able to establish that. Couple of things though, rather than just talking about purely filling out wizard, I'm sure everyone can read what's on screen and enter it. There are a couple of things you need to be aware of. Now, just in case anyone's still got Service Manager 2010 within their environment, you cannot have the 2010 and the 2012 integration pack for Service Manager on the same orchestrator servers. They just don't coexist because they share the same DLL, but that same DLL is different and not compatible across the different versions. The VMM and DPM require access to a console. So them consoles can be either on the Runbook servers, and then when you're filling out the connection details, you can put in localhost and it'll just connect to it, or they can be remotely. So you know pretty much you're gonna have a DPM console on the DPM server, VMM on the VMM server. It's just depending on how much extra load that you may put on them. However, even if it's installed locally, you must make sure that PowerShell remoting is enabled on that local box and that your execution policy for your PowerShell scripts is set to at least remote signed, because it's all using PowerShell under the back end of these integration packs. Now the SCOM console, that needs to be installed on your Runbook servers. So if you're doing any automation with SCOM, it goes on every Runbook server that you are going to be potentially executing a Runbook on. Well, one thing that often gets not missed or known about, and actually it can happen completely in the background silently, you never need to know about it, is when you use the create alert activity out of the integration pack, it actually very sneakily installs a management pack for you in Operations Manager, remembering the name of it. So again, you might just want to give them a heads up and say, hey, look out for this orchestrator integration library management pack that I am about to install on your Operations Manager infrastructure, which is about as exciting as the demos get for Orchestrate, I'm afraid. I did just want to show this though. So I have my create alert. Of course, I've got to go back to the one thing that's not working properly. So within my management packs at the minute, I only have the two integration packs, and these are actually for the monitoring aspect of Orchestrator. But as soon as I use this for the first time, run that. The best bet is I'll probably see it fail the first time. So it takes a little bit of time. So the reason it fails the first time is quite simply it's because the management pack doesn't exist. So you'll get a failure on first run. It's actually then importing that management pack in the background. Once it's imported that management pack, next time you run it, it'll succeed. So depending on how fast your environment is. Right. We'll come back to that one because it's not the most exciting to sit there watching me hitting the refresh button. So they were the five main components, so the four main areas plus the orchestrate component. The next ones is more around that service provider components, so the Windows Azure pack. Now, the Windows Azure pack can be fairly simple to integrate. There are a few permissions and different accounts here and there, and it depends on how you want to do it. If you're going to do it purely from the GUI, it is fairly simple. There's a box, let's put in an endpoint, and let's put in some credentials, or you can start using some PowerShell to do it. So some of the things that you need to be aware of then. So Windows Azure pack itself is more a collection of the different portals and some of the resource providers, And then we have this component called SPF, or Service Provider Foundation, that kind of sits underneath, that does a lot of the interactions with the different components. So one of the first things we need to do is actually look at registering SPF into WAP. So we do that, so then we can actually leverage SPF to go and do the calls into the other areas and bring that back, that information, into the Windows Azure pack. We do this under the VMM Cloud section. Surprisingly enough, there's not an extra section, and I'll run through this, where we register both the SPF connector, we'll register SMA within there, and as well as the service reporting connection, all within the same pane. Once we've registered SPF, then we can add a VMM server, which will then start to do that interaction, so it goes and tells SPF to go talk to VMM, and we'll pull in information around the clouds and start to allow us to create tenants within there for various different plans. I'm obviously making the assumption that everyone is aware of Windows Azure Pack, and it is that whole Windows Azure public portal on-premise for doing service provider. I get a few nods, I'll carry on with that assumption then. The one that does get a little bit more awkward to start integrating is around the service reporting. So this was a fairly new addition that we had. Again, it comes under the Orchestrator banner for some reason. But the service reporting is used to get some of the metrics out of Operations Manager and Virtual Machine Manager regarding the usage of the different plans and tenants and what their consumption of the IaaS platform is, so we can start to do recharge billing. Now, the reason it's a bit more complex is because it touches quite a fair few different components, and the setup routine doesn't do a lot of the integration for us. It's a lot of manual tasks. So we have some PowerShell. Now, you don't necessarily have to start at this bit. I'll put these on more as an example of some of the things that we might need to potentially look at. So doing this through within the console can pretty much do some of this. However, depending on where you go to start the process of setting up service reporting, you're going to potentially need to know these commands, because it's the username and password that are used at this section that gets used later on when running a script. So we'll come on to service reporting in a second, because we need to talk about Service Provider Foundation, because that sits in between them all. So Service Provider Foundation, when you go through the console and you do it via the GUI, fine, you just don't see a lot of it, but you are again going to need to dig into some of the PowerShell later on when you want to see and maintain and manage it. And this comes around this new SCSPF server. So this is the commandlet, and obviously you have the get and the set commandlets that go along with it that start to define the different interactions with the different system center components. So all of these have a server type. So we'll either specify a server type of 0, or you can use the name VMM for when we're doing the connection into Virtual Machine Manager. We have an OMDW that is actually the usage connector for service reporting. And then we have a connection type of none for automation, because that makes perfect sense. Now, each one of these servers gets registered to a stamp. So the stamp is the key crucial thing within SPF. This is what defines our set of system center components for management. It is the definition term of all the collection of it that's used to manage a set of hardware infrastructures using one distinct, unique installation of system center. And we register each one of these servers to that stamp. You can have multiple stamps, and you can have multiple stamps that then start to reach out to different installations of system center, but it is one unique instance. Then moving on to this usage account. So I'm using usage and service reporting kind of intermixed here. The usage terminology within SPF is what we use to connect to the service reporting side, and it's the most complex one to set up. So from the permission side, we need to make sure that when you look and install SPF, you'll see lots and lots of different IIS application pools. One of them application pools will be the usage, and that should be running under a domain account. We need to make sure that that account has rights to the DW SQL database. So it's doing direct calls to the database. So grant it the Ops Manager reader permissions, not just DB reader, needs to be in the Ops Manager reader account group. And then the SQL agent that is running on the service reporting server also requires access to both of the SCOM databases. So give it access to the DB reader permissions. It doesn't need to be in that other one, it just needs to be in the DB reader this time. And then we start to get a little bit more complex. So there's then a XML file that we must go in and configure and change. So none of the installation routines will do this. You've either got to very granularly read the actual installation instructions, or you can watch this session and see which one it is. But within that XML file, here we go, there is this data extraction area. Within this data extraction area, we need to manually go in and change things like the instance that we're using for the SQL Server for the operational database, not the data warehouse database, surprisingly enough. And then we specify some of the WAP bits and pieces. So don't forget, you need to edit this XML file before you continue on to the next step. That next step is a PowerShell commandlet that you run, which uses that username and password that I mentioned previously. So this will be the username and password that you use for the usage service within SPF, set up either through the console or pre-set up using them PowerShell commands that actually then finishes off configuring the rest of the actual installation of service reporting. This is the one where you will need to sit down and read the TechNet guides and any other blog guides over and over and over and get it very clear in your mind, because it takes me numerous times where you'll miss one little bit and it just doesn't work and it gets really upset. So I'm just conscious of the time on this one. We'll very, very quickly look at the SPF connections. It's going to load up quick enough. So as I mentioned, this is the admin portal side for the Windows Azure pack. Really should have had this open ahead of time. This little one that's got the three little dots that you know full well is going to take ages to load up. So this is the VM Cloud section where you would actually go and finish configuring some of the different integration points. So we have the different bits within the Windows Azure pack where we can see that SMA integration. Come on. But it's all configured from within here. It's not going to load in time, is it? There we go. So just underneath the dashboard section, you'll see the various different areas where we can connect them in. So if you're not doing this via PowerShell, you're not automating the installation, it's the manual exercise of coming in and making sure you specify the relevant different URLs. So the SPF server and the user account information, and again, similarly with the different automation ones. Running out of time, so we'll have to skip that bit for now. So the connection order, if you start to pull in all the different System Center components, so just a disclaimer, this is my personal preference order. This is not a hard and fast rule. You don't have to do it in this order, and probably people will disagree with me on various different ones, but I tend to like to go through this. I like to connect Orchestrator to all my different components, very heavy into the automation side of it. I haven't mentioned about things like service management automation connecting into various different ones, and I haven't mentioned, because service management automation, by the way, is the newer version of what's coming on with Orchestrator. It's the one that's going to start to take more dominance over it. But then we go through, we connect VMM to SCOM, so we can start to monitor stuff, get Service Manager connected in to everything, start to pull that across into the actual CMDB. Because I've already got Orchestrator set up, I can then start to automate more tasks as request options, get DPM integrated so I can get some better management, better visibility of the reporting so I know that I'm protecting everything I've installed. And then I start down that route of trying to get the Windows Azure pack integrated, getting the service reporting integrated and ready so then I can actually link them into, get SPF linked into everything, and then finish it off by just adding it into WAP so I can start to use it. So I mentioned a couple of things. There was that MP highlighter tool. So that's the URL for the MP highlighter tool. Now, Rob has not updated that in quite some time. It still works. The online catalog bit of it doesn't work anymore, but it kind of works. Feel free to nag him, because I've been nagging and nagging and nagging at him to get that updated. And he's kind of held off doing it, especially as somebody else has more or less created a very, very similar tool, but I can't find it. But when I did try it, it didn't do a lot of the Service Manager side from memory. I could be wrong, and I apologize. The accounts and permissions. So I've talked a lot about the different accounts. If you want a very granular view of what permissions are in there, then one of my most viewed posts on my blog is around the accounts and permissions. So I break it down to every different component, every different connector, and all the different permission required. And there will be some further knowledge articles coming. So on our company homepage, we'll be adding in lots of different bits based on this session, which take you through more or less step by step the different connectors, the permissions, in very much of a recipe-driven guide of how to do a lot of this. Any quick questions, noticing the time? Obviously, feel free to come and grab me after the session. This is going to sound really cheesy. I'm here all week, so you can come and grab me at any point. No? Right. Thanks to all our sponsors. Obviously, they're all out there. Feel free to go and browse around the different stalls and things. And feedback, please leave some feedback. Thank you very much.